library of DNA code, for example, is focusing on how you can create different species of beings by starting from the very smallest particles and their components, calling Stockholm instead. That is why we are all part of the same spirit of the atomic age. In music, we do exactly the same. By opening the possibility space of Great Beat Science, DJ Mixer and Rap Pioneer Grandmaster Flash extends and deepens this 71 observation. After I took the title of Grandmaster Flash, I knew I had to start going to the work and, so to speak, and invent new ideas. Flash in 81, going to the lab means approaching the studio as a research center for the breaking down of the beat. In the lab, the breakbeat is isolated and replicated to become the DNA of rhythmic psychedelia. The rhythm motor. The breakbeat is a motion capture device, a detachable rhythm engine, a movable rhythm motor that generates contour velocity. The break is any short captured sound whatsoever, indifferent to tradition. This functionalism ignores history, allows hip-hop to data mine unknown veins of funk, to groove rob not its ancestor worship. For the functionalist, all the world is Dubmaster, replays, turntable, terranova. As DJ Shadow suggests, hip-hop is therefore not a genre so much as an omni-genre, a conceptual approach to a sonic organization rather than a particular sound in itself. Investigating the building blocks of the beat, Grandmaster Flash crosses the threshold of microwave. The incredible bongo band, Bongo Rock, Johnny the Fox, The Bells, Bob James, Mardi Gras, Aloof. I really like pop, Aloof. Like, break the shit down. The 1860s, an amazing music. Both the new Grandmaster Flash and the 81 track title, The Amazing Adventures of Grandmaster Flash and the Beast of Steel, a sonic fiction. The Flash points to the supersonic science of Scratchadelia. The DJ as DC Comics hero returned Grandmaster to levels of skill and depth of induction into the martial art form of DJing. The name Grandmaster Flash brings together comics and kung fu movies, superhero and Shaolin in a mythical battle. The name ignites an adventure of concepts, a fusion of sensations that catalyzes a virtual world and what David Toop calls the fantasy level. This plane of fantasy is Marshall McLuhan's industrial folklore of man gone supernova. The concept techniques of the turntable. In mythifying the decks as the wheels of steel, Flash inaugurates the machine mythology of the turntable. This new conceptual technology or concept techniques presupposes that the decks have become a state of mind for the DJ. After Flash, the turntable becomes a machine for building and melding mind states from your record collection. The turntables, the techniques that become a subjectivity engine, generating a stereophonics, a hi-fi consciousness of the head, fully tuned in and turned on by the foul noise of vinyl degeneration that hears scratches, crackle, fuzz, hiss, and static as lead instruments. The hip-hop fanatic moves inside the crowd, rides across the surface of the sleeve, shrinks until the same size as the stylus, scoring its revolution down the line. You can see turntable consciousness as lead instruments. The hip-hop fanatic moves inside the crowd, rides across the surface of the sleeve, shrinks until the same size as the stylus, scoring its revolution down the line. You can see turntable consciousness in 3D. Robert Del Naha's painting for Molex 96 heads to CD, where the tone arm is poised to circle the grooves of the flaming head, haloed by the turntable. The flight of the stylus launches the 12 on its journey to the center of the head. By breaking down the intro into two words, you say, Flash opens up the new micro-universe of split-second speech. Adventures drags you into the performative world where syntax splits into command modules, instruction engines, actuators. lead instruments. Techno replaces the blues philosophies of suffering that have underpinned 20th century African-American music with an aesthetic of reprogramming. Blackness becomes production technique, alienation is converted into cyborg identity, and the practice of international music data exchange becomes a utopian myth of non-property-based, open-source collaboration that functions as a resolution to the contradictions and inequities of global electronic capitalism. Drexia's project of mapping the Black Atlantis can be considered an allegory for this ocean of sound, a journey home that leads to the future. What is this future? It is post-apocalyptic, but less in the literal sense of post-nuclear war narrative, and more in the metaphorical sense of being built on the ruins of industrial culture, out of electronic technologies that seem to offer the possibility of dissolving the mass media of the age and returning to pre-industrial gift economy forms of communication that offer more localized forms of response. Yet there are ironies here. It would be a mistake to read this future as a simple return to the past, to primitive, non-linear forms of consciousness. New forms of technology are supposed to heal the excesses of the old ones. These talking drums communicate within an electronic environment far removed from the rainforest or the savanna. The physical landscape is more feudal than tribal, a post-welfare state economy where the market rules and global corporations produce economic action at a distance effects on local lives. The city itself has passed beyond the sensory comprehension of the individual. It may even be that sound, free of the objectifying tendencies that accompany visual representation, is best equipped to map, certainly to evoke, these new spaces. But the particular kind of communication space that techno inhabits and mythologizes is only imaginable in an American economy that has, for the most part, moved its industry to other parts of the world, where labor is cheap and laws less stringent, in order to shift toward media and entertainment modes of production. In this sense, Detroit's techno-global utopia remains firmly local. The final destination of Cyber Africa has yet to be imagined. Is made readily. Post-wing to pre-industrial basis, the rainforest, ocean of sound, wing to pre- the rainforest of, that is, while I, there's tab bodies of other, post-wing to privily, the rainforest, page haircut economy that had there, in order to, as a page haircut, which, I suppose in a general sense, Appointment time specifically for you and you alone. For this reason, our office charges for cancellations without 2 business days notice. If you cancel or reschedule a visit without 2 business days notice, the cancellation fees are as follows. Initial appointment, $225. Follow-up appointment, $125 for 20 to 30 minutes. Follow-up appointment, $225 for 50 to 60 minutes. Psychotherapy appointment, $100. We also understand that your time and money is valuable. For this reason, our office staff will always try to call and remind you about each appointment as a courtesy. Late arrivals. If you arrive late for your appointment and your doctor determines that there is enough time remaining, he or she will be able to see you only for the allotted time left of your scheduled appointment. At such times, it may be necessary to schedule an additional appointment to allow you and the doctor to have sufficient time to address your treatment concerns. Same day appointments. Most insurance companies do not pay for 2 mental health visits on the same day. If you schedule visits with your psychiatrist on the same day that you meet with your psychotherapist, you may be expected to pay for one of these visits. Gastric bypass evaluation. Blue Cross is the only insurance company that will pay a small portion of the gastric bypass evaluation. Please check in with our staff for a breakdown and explanation of what the cost of today's visit will be. Emergencies and urgent consultations. For your benefit, a covering physician will be available each day after office hours until 9 p.m. to discuss problems with medications via phone. The covering psychiatrist can be reached by calling our call center, whose number will always be listed on our voicemail message. For emergencies, do not call our offices. Please call 911 or go directly to the emergency room at the nearest hospital. The heat shines in the south. We have shed the green leaves of springtime and wear the brown ones of summer, losing flight for some days in the process. I have not felt whole for 1 year and 20 days now, nor eaten a worm or a tadpole that did not taste of death, slow death that creeps up the roots of the grasses. Radiation. Ealing and Ray lost their feathers and their flight. I had to leave them in the cold of Lake Washington with 2 others and a grebe. We had known since we were ducklings. I had had 6 wings, and now I have 2. You know what it feels like to lose a limb? I don't. Daddy lost their toe to frostbite 1 chilly winter. I have managed to keep all of mine. But losing Ealing and Ray, we had always been 3 since the first water, and I felt their downs pressed to my side. Ling and I will meet it in our first spring. Ling and Ray will meet it in our second. Ray and I were lovers in our third. No ducklings, of course, but no white man in the jungle hat came with a shotgun or a camera to take our bodies or our souls away. And nobody without feathers was to know.
Thank you.
You are noticed. You are noticed. You are heard. You are heard. You are heard. You are seen. You are seen. You are seen. You are felt. You are felt. You are felt. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are missed. You are missed. You are missed. You are held in spaces. You are held in spaces. You are held in spaces. And spaces are held for you. And spaces are held for you. And spaces are held for you. And in you. And in you. And in you. You are loved. You are loved. You are noticed. You are noticed. You are noticed. You are heard. You are heard. You are heard. You are seen. You are seen. You are seen. You are felt. You are felt. You are felt. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are missed. You are missed. You are missed. You are held in spaces. You are held in spaces. You are held in spaces. And spaces are held for you. And spaces are held for you. And spaces are held for you. And in you. And in you. And in you. You are loved. You are loved. You are noticed. You are noticed. You are noticed. You are heard. You are heard. You are heard. You are seen. You are seen. You are seen. You are felt. You are felt. You are felt. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are missed. You are missed. You are missed. You are held in spaces. You are held in spaces. You are held in spaces. And spaces are held for you. And spaces are held for you. And spaces are held for you. And in you. And in you. And in you. You are loved. You are loved. You are noticed. You are noticed. You are noticed. You are heard. You are heard. You are heard. You are seen. You are seen. You are seen. You are felt. You are felt. You are felt. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are missed. shines in the south. We have shed the green leaves of springtime and wear the brown ones of summer, losing flight for some days in the process. I have not felt whole for a year and 20 days now, nor eaten a worm or a tadpole that did not taste of death, slow death that creeps up the roots of the grasses. Radiation. Ealing and Ray lost their feathers and their flight. I had to leave them in the cold of Lake Washington with two elders and a grebe we had known since we were ducklings. I had had 6 wings, and now I have 2. Do you know what it feels like to lose a limb? I don't. Daddy lost their toe to frostbite one chilly winter. I have managed to keep all of mine. But losing Ealing and Ray, we had always been 3 since the first water, and I felt their downs pressed to my side. Ling and I were mated in our first spring. Ling and Ray were mated in their second. Ray and I were lovers in our third. No ducklings, of course, but no white man in a jungle hat came with a shotgun or a camera to take our bodies or our souls away. And nobody without feathers was. The heat shines in the south. We have shed the green. The heat shines in the south. We have shed the green. To keep all of mine. And Ray. They were mated.
Karaoke and the Construction of Identity by K.C. Mankong Lam.
The word karaoke is a hybrid term, consisting of two components, kara meaning empty and oke, an abbreviation of okesutora, an adopted foreign word in the Japanese vocabulary meaning orchestra. Taking the separate elements together, karaoke means orchestra minus one, the lead vocal, which refers to pre-recorded musical accompaniments designed for amateur singing. I should note here before going on that Americans say karaoke, which I guess works, but I grew up pronouncing this word karaoke, and that is how it's said in the original Japanese, so that's how I will say it. Anyway, moving on. The word also denotes either a place such as a bar or nightclub with karaoke entertainment, or a machine that allows users to sing with pre-recorded musical accompaniments. To the novice, singing karaoke, especially before a group of strangers, can be a nerve-wracking experience. I can vividly remember how I felt the first time I attended a karaoke event. Not unlike many first-timers, I went through a series of complex yet memorable emotions during that first karaoke experience. The excitement, the anticipation, the anxiety, the excuses, the self-doubt, the urge to show off, and so forth. My first karaoke encounter took place in the summer of 1993 at a friend's barbecue party on Long Island. No one mentioned to me beforehand that karaoke was on the agenda. Perhaps it was not planned ahead of time. But when the grill in the backyard was slowly cooling off, our hosts, Richard and Diane, suggested that the seven or eight of us sing karaoke in the large living room. The thought that I might have to sing before a group of people, most of whom I had met only a few hours before, caused anticipation as well as anxiety. It had never occurred to me that I was even remotely close to being musically competent enough to sing in public. In the car on our way home, I busily wondered whether everyone at the party had discovered how badly I had sung. But almost miraculously, my wife told me how very surprised she was that I could sing so well. So well, I thought. I was puzzled by my wife's compliment because I knew she actually meant what she said. Nonetheless, I began to feel better about my singing. For several days afterwards, I could not help but think about the various emotions I had experienced that evening, from the anxiety to the longing to be part of the group, and from the positive approval of an otherwise mediocre performance to the willful acceptance of such a compliment. Also, I thought about how casual and invisible karaoke as a form of entertainment and popular culture had already become to Richard and Diane, as well as to millions of people like them in various parts of Asia, in overseas Asian immigrant communities, and increasingly around the world. I wanted to know more. I begin this essay with my first karaoke experience not only because it was memorable, but more importantly because it reflects the typical responses that people have when they first encounter karaoke. Although many people share these initial emotional responses, the significance they eventually generate through or attach to their karaoke experience may differ from one social context to another. In fact, it is my purpose here to examine how karaoke may be engaged in a great variety of ways, and how varying social meanings can be constructed through the use of karaoke in different everyday contexts. My book, In Search of a Voice, the larger work from which this essay is adapted, is an ethnography of how karaoke is used in the expression, maintenance, and reconstruction of social identity as part of the Chinese-American experience I had experienced that evening. From the significance of experience, it explores the social and theoretical implications of interaction between the media audience and karaoke as both an electronic communication technology and a cultural practice. As such, the book has its theoretical foundations resting on the nexus of three areas of analysis, namely cultural adaptation of communication technology, audience interaction with electronic media, and the role of media in the evolution of the Chinese diaspora in the United States. In this essay, I will summarize the book's findings. Discovery of DNA code, for example, is focusing on how you can create different species of beings by starting from the very smallest particles in their components, Caroline Stockhausen has said. That is why we are all part of the same spirit of the atomic age. In music, we do exactly the same. By opening the possibility space of breakbeat science, DJ, mixer, and rap pioneer Grandmaster Flash extends and deepens this 71 observation. After I took the title of Grandmaster Flash, I knew I had to start going to a laboratory, so to speak, and invent new ideas. For Flash in 81, going to the lab means approaching the studio as a research center for the breaking down of the beat. In the lab, the breakbeat is isolated and replicated to become the DNA of rhythmic psychedelia. The rhythm motor. The breakbeat is a motion capture device, a detachable rhythm engine, a movable rhythm motor that generates cultural velocity. The break is any short captured sound whatsoever. Indifferent to tradition, this functionalism ignores history, allows hip-hop to datamine unknown veins of funk, to groove rob not ancestor worship. For the functionalist, all the world is Dubmaster Lee Perry's turntable Terra Nova. As DJ Shadow suggests, hip-hop is therefore not a genre so much as an omni-genre, a conceptual approach toward sonic organization rather than a particular sound in itself. Investigating the building blocks of the beat, Grandmaster Flash crosses the threshold of microrhythm. The incredible bongo band, Bongo Rock, Johnny the Fox, The Bells, Bob James, Mardi Gras. I would really like pop, 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 pop. I would like break the shit down. The 18th, 16th notes, it amazed me sometimes. Both the name Grandmaster Flash and the 81 track title, The Amazing Adventures of Grandmaster Flash on the Wheels of Steel, are sonic fiction. The Flash points to the supersonic science of Scratchadelia, the DJ as DC Comics hero, the term Grandmaster to levels of skill and depth of induction into the martial art form of DJing. The name Grandmaster Flash brings together comics and kung fu movies, superhero and Shaolin in a mythical battle. The name ignites an adventure of concepts, a fusion of sensations that catalyzes a virtual world at what David Toop calls the fantasy level. This plane of fantasy is Marshall McLuhan's industrial folklore of man gone supernova. The concept techniques of the turntable. In mythifying the decks,